Okay, Andrew, how are you feeling?
Bit hazy. Little bit fuzzy. Turned into a pretty big night.
A lot of documentary watching, Sudoku puzzles.
Yeah, conversation, laughter.
Trip to the library.
Beer.
Books.
Champagne. Red wine. Whiskey.
At the library? Wow, you guys have crazy libraries.
Yeah, and really good dinner, really good food, steak, really delicious steak, thick, juicy.
At the library.
Yeah,
man.
The library.
That's got great
That's
libraries
how we roll here
there.
In Perth. Ooh, man, I had a big time headache this morning.
How are you cooking that steak?
Well, it wasn't me cooking it, so it's probably for the best. There were thermometer probes, it was a charcoal barbecue and then finished in an oven. It was sensational.
Cooking that to a rare to medium rare, or what's the?
Oh yeah, yeah, okay. yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to. I was just checking to see if I needed to just hang up right now, or
if it was well done, I would have walked out. The dinner party would have been over. No,
I've never been a fan of the fact that it's called well done, because sometimes you want to say well done to someone's cooking, but then if you say well done, then that's the bad one. It's counterintuitive.
It's like mentioning a bomb when you're in the airport. Just don't say it.
Basically, yeah, it's absolutely no. Don't talk about bombs when you're ordering a steak, and do not tell anyone at TSA that they are well done. Does not go over
well. Take
your
shoes off instantly. So, do they still have TSA in America? Is it still as hardcore as it used to be?
Are you kidding me? You think we're ever going to give up on that lark? Never. We're never giving up on that.
Because don't you reckon Martin Australia's gotten pretty chilled about it again now? Like, we still have the checks, but you can see nobody's heart's really in it.
Like, nah, all good. But when we actually went through security, because we did a flight, little holiday recently, Mac wasn't allowed to take his little plastic crocodile toy through, because it is possible that someone under the age of 3 could be carrying some sort of knife or explosives in a wild animal toy. He was like, I want my crocodile back. And they're like, you'll get it back. So that was serious. Everyone else was laid back, though.
In Australia, you can't have a crocodile toy.
Not on your person while being scanned as an infant, no.
But you could probably have an actual crocodile, like, as a support animal or something.
Maybe. But I was told, oh, you need to take your watch and your ring off on one end, and then now leave it on through the other. But they're using the same equipment. But then a plastic crocodile needs to be put in the tray. So I'm not sure what the logic is there.
We have had this in the show notes for a little while, McDonald's, Burger King, that kind of thing. Just yesterday, McDonald's, global outage. Couldn't buy a burger.
I saw that.
How timely. Was it a hack? Was it a cyber attack? Was it just their systems failing them? I haven't even read anything about the news because I don't really care. But apparently you couldn't buy a burger from McDonald's anywhere. Is that right?
I would imagine it was a direct order from the king himself to shut them down, don't you think?
The Burger King?
The Burger King, yeah.
Nefarious.
I think so.
Well, whatever the cause, there was a panicked McFlurry of activity.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the last time I heard about McDonald's, was when there was some kind of uprising about ice cream machines or something. I don't even know.
That's right, yeah.
That was a thing for a while.
They're always broken. Broken in, you know, air quotes. So I don't know who put this in, but I can kick it off because I've got a couple of serious questions about McDonald's.
You put it in, actually, so probably good for you to go. Yeah,
there should be a basketball there. So McDonald's, right? I have a question, because here in Australia, McDonald's is quite successful, and they've successfully pitched themselves like as a sort of a kind of a, I don't want to say high class, but a good place with a wide variety of foods, sort of pitched to everybody. Good, reliable option. That's what McDonald's is here. I remember going to a McDonald's in the US and being stunned that it still felt like McDonald's from 1992, where everything was falling apart. It was dirty as anything. It was basically like you got a Big Mac or you get a McFeast or something, and that was about it.
McFeast.
Whereas,
that's the thing.
Whereas really here, you go to McDonald's. You go to McDonald's, wow, and we've got a My Macca's app that you can like order from your comfort of your home, drive up, and it just gives you, it recognizes you've arrived at the store, and you yell out a code, and then suddenly your food just arrives and it's paid through Apple Pay. Or when you go to the store, there's like big touchscreen kiosks and you can like do your order from there. It's all very high tech. Then they'll deliver it to your table, and it's all clean, except for maybe the toilets. I think they're always a bit scungy. But I just feel like McDonald's in Australia has taken it to a new level. You can get your coffees at the McCafe. You get a barista-made coffee. I'm just wondering, has the McDonald's in America stepped up to this Australian McDonald's game yet? Or are they still in the doldrums? That's my opening gambit.
Opening gambit. Yeah, very, very well done. I have not been to a McDonald's probably since the 1992 that you are speaking of. So... Mm-hmm. In my mind, yes, McDonald's is still the same as it was in 1992. But I do think that McDonald's is a, much like many chains, is a different beast in different locations. I think the McDonald's of the US is probably nothing like the McDonald's of Australia or the McDonald's of Japan or the McDonald's of insert other country. And I think they're all probably, quote unquote, better. I would love to hear listener feedback, honestly, because I've not been in a very, very long time, but I do think that they are of a different, it's almost like they're only McDonald's in name only in other places, just for like the recognizability of the brand, but everything else is like completely gutted and changed out for something that's better.
Mm.
I think 7-Eleven is another kind of thing like that. Like a 7-Eleven here, nope, no thanks. Whereas a 7-Eleven, I already talked about Japan, a 7-Eleven in Japan is like awesome. I want to go there all the time and like get my lunch there. I want to get all kinds of stuff there. It's just like the same name, but everything else is completely different. So I imagine McDonald's is the same.
Okay. Which leads me to my second gambit, if you can have a second gambit. A closing gambit?
I think you're only allowed one gambit, but...
Damn it.
I'm not sure.
Okay, power move. So in America, you have something known as Burger King.
Burger King.
In Australia, for legal reasons dating way back to the 1970s or 80s, we have Hungry Jack's.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
We did have a Burger King when I was a kid in my suburb.
Really?
And then they rebadged it. Hmm. Yeah.
As we would call, we don't call it Hungry Jack's. We call it HJ's because that's what you do.
So you're going to get an HJ?
Yeah.
Interesting. You've piqued my interest. I'm fully on board for this conversation now.
Okay. Now HJ's, I don't know how it stands in comparison to Burger King. I don't know what the.
I think the HJ's at Burger King are probably not as good, but maybe.
You go to Hungry Jack's and you will get a better burger than what you get at McDonald's.
So is Hungry Jack's, I think Burger King, and you know, I'm not a fast food expert here, but I think Burger King is the one, is that the flame grilled Whopper?
Correct.
Is it the same thing there where they're like, oh, we don't use a griddle. We do like fire. We cook everything with fire.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, and lots of ads with fire. Yeah, you got it.
The burgers are better at Hungry Jack's. Not a sponsor, but that is the slogan.
Oh, they just straight up, they just call it out. Okay, nice.
Yeah. And they sponsor the Australian Basketball League as well. So big time sponsor of the Australian Basketball League.
Oh, yeah.
But while the burgers are better, they are highly variable. You might get a shit one, depending on which teenager happens to be working on the day.
Mm-hmm.
A colleague of mine threw up as a result of one.
Yeah,
so.
Look, that's bound to happen, but you're still willing to take the risk. And whenever you go into a Hungry Jack's, the cleanliness is never as good as McDonald's. it's always a bit seedier. It's like a second-rate McDonald's. They've recently installed touch screens in the same way that McDonald's has to take your orders, but they're just a bit crappier. So everything about Hungry Jack's is crappier. They put rolled out barista coffee in all their restaurants as well. I've not yet had the courage to try one because you look at it and you're like, nah, I don't think so.
Again, a colleague orders Hungry Jack's coffee and prefers it to the McDonald's equivalent. So by the way.
It might be better. I'm just scared because I look at it and it just looks, there's just like a bit of a sheen of grime. You know, it just never feels like I'm really going to get a healthy option with that.
That's because they're putting all the effort into the burger and not the cleaning of the establishment.
It's never clean. I don't care. I've gone to a number of Hungry Jacks around the Perth region and in Sydney and so on. They're never clean.
If I'm driving down any street, Australia, am I likely to see more McDonald's or Hungry Jacks, or is it fairly evenly distributed?
McDonald's.
More McDonald's. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is what I wanted to say. I think what McDonald's has done in Australia is basically set itself as the de facto emergency option at any time. And you'll see on billboards, maybe this is elsewhere in the world, but I haven't seen it quite the same way. It'll be McDonald's in the next 2 kilometers. Or if there isn't one for a while, you'll see a ridiculously high number of kilometers because it's the only option you're going to see for a very, very long time. And you'll see a Hungry Jack's occasionally, well, not occasionally, fairly regularly planted next to one, kind of like, oh, burgers are better. Maybe come in this one. Give it a go. If you can deal with the scungy bathrooms, as Andrew said, and get your flame-grilled Whopper, you can do it. But it's like, oh, you know, Macca's is here. The kids are going to be happy with it. We can get our variety of coffees or wraps or ever so slightly fancier Angus burgers, which was a very successful advertising campaign in Australia. Just a little bit fancy, not too much. Macca's is the option for most people.
And is that the two, not to rank them by good or bad, but just in availability, is it basically Hungry Jack's and McDonald's?
Yes. Yeah. If you're talking burgers, we really don't have a third option. Like, whereas you guys might have a Wendy's. Is it Wendy's you have?
We got a Wendy's. Or like
In-N-Out burger.
Oh, In-N-Out is shit.
I thought they were the good
Doesn't
ones.
Doesn't Shake Shack do them as well?
In-N-Out is the worst hamburger ever made and the shittiest fries ever conceived.
And then you've got Five Guys.
Five Guys, yep.
So we've got
we also
none of
have
that.
A weird thing where we have Carl's Jr. on the West Coast. And then like a Burger King Hungry Jack situation, it's named something completely different on the East Coast, but it's the same thing. So who knows how that works?
Well, Carl's Jr. is in Australia now. So,
oh, okay.
Is it?
Yay. And yeah, and to me, it just tastes like Hungry Jack's. And answering your question, Andrew, about the Hungry Jack's versus Burger King in the US thing, we tried Burger King in New York when we were over there, and I would say it tasted pretty much exactly the same. Just obviously all the logos were different, but it looked more like the Hungry Jack's / Burger King of the past, and they had table service, and they would give you alcohol. At this particular one at the World Trade Center. So it was kind of like a weird retro restaurant version of what we have in Australia with different logos.
Was it clean?
Yeah, quite clean because they were doing all the table service thing and being a bit more attentive.
Oh, Jack in the Box also is another one. Jack in the Box, Arby's. There's an Arby's. That's kind, I think it's technically food.
If you only want chicken, there's Chick-fil-A, I suppose.
We do have that, yeah.
Everyone's ethical favorite.
moving on.
You've got White Castle as well, don't you? White Castle?
Those, I think, I could be mistaken, but I believe those are more East Coast than West Coast. They may be kind of all over now, but...
Harold and Kumar recommend.
So, yeah, we just have those two, and then it's basically independents. You know, your local, like, where you're probably going to get a better burger.
You're going to get a real thing that you really want to actually eat and go back to get again. Yeah.
There's Grilled, but they don't really do drive-through. They're more in shopping centres.
Before we turn this just into Lister Burger Joint Corner, do you have any nice memories as a kid of going to burger joints or fast food?
I do, yeah. When I think of fast food as a kid, I think of going on road trips and getting McDonald's breakfast, which was like pancakes.
Yes. It was like that's what I was going to say.
It was like a horribly terrible foam, overly complicated foam container that is still hasn't biodegraded to this day from back then, 40 years later.
It's stronger, in fact.
And it had like a whole lid, and then it had little compartments, and you had your pancakes and I think a hash brown. Maybe there was some bacon or eggs or something, but it was like a whole little self-contained...
like a bento box.
Kind of, yeah, yeah, exactly. Like with a built-in tray almost. So you could eat it in the car on the go, because that's what we do. That I remember as being like ultimate highlight of like stopping off at some place to get a food at like a fast food kind of place.
Yep, I share that memory.
I had memory. My brother, his first job was working at Hungry Jack's. And I remember sometimes he would bring home like leftover apple pies, like the hot apple pies. The
apple pies in those little sleeves.
Yes. And they're kind of deep fried. So they get a bit bubbly on the outside.
Yeah.
And I remember sometimes if it was a good day, he would, for whatever reason, probably steal a number of apple pies and come home. And I would occasionally get one.
He just has a pocket full of apple pies. Still warm. So you guys had the same pancake thing going on with the McDonald's.
Not bacon and eggs though. No.
It wasn't bento box though. No, it was just a tray with like three hotcakes in it and a little sachet thing, little tub of maple syrup.
And the whipped butter.
Was it made out of that horrible foam?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Yep.
The Hungry Jack's that was a Burger King that I mentioned before, up until the last year or two, had the same 1950s kind of themed pictures on the wall with all the like old American musicals and pictures of James Dean and Elvis and stuff from when it was a Burger King. I was like in primary school and they still had it up on the wall post rebranding.
Our local ones that were never Burger Kings, they were Hungry Jack's. Hungry Jack's here went through that whole style as well, like trying to make it the 50s diner. And yeah, that I think it's only been cleared out in the last couple of years. It's but it doesn't look any better. Still looks trash.
I mean, the 50s diner thing, that's like a very US thing, obviously. Was that ever actually a thing there? Or was this just like we're trying to pretend like we're...
No, Australia had milk bars and stuff, and you would have them run by people like Greek migrants, and they would have maybe that diner look to them. Maybe like the sort of thing you'd see in Back to the Future, but not... Like we had fish and chip shops, milk bars, that sort of thing, but not so much burger places as you would have had.
Like a drive, like the drive up ones with like the people on roller skates and stuff. Like that was like very, because America's so car centric, it was just like everything revolved around a car.
Now I think Hungry Jack's here just seemed to go through this phase where like we're just going to be like throwback to a different culture and make people feel cool about it. Hungry Jack's is always weird like that. It's always a bit try hard and it can't, they always half ass things. They're like, we're going to be 50s, but we're not really going to be 50s. They're not going to really embrace it at every level. It's going to be a veneer of 50s, but it's still going to be like shitty 2000s when you try and buy something.
It's like, look, there's some checkerboard pattern over there. We're totally 50s. It's like,
well, totally. Okay. Yes. Look at that triangular neon. See? Job done. That's Hungry Jack's. That is Hungry Jack's. Half-assed burgers that taste better, but might make you sick.
They just chose to leave that part off of the slogan, though. What if we just stuck with better burgers and we left off the sick part? What do you guys think? You think that's maybe the way we should go? Yeah, I think so. Go get them, Randy. All right, so McDonald's or Hungry Jack's, final question. You got to go get a burger right now. Which do you pick, Andrew?
Hungry Jack's. I'm getting a Whopper with cheese, minus onion.
The burgers are better at Hungry Jack's, but I would go for McDonald's just because I trust their variety a bit more.
Fries? Which one? Hungry Jack's?
Hungry Jack's fries are also better.
Okay.
They're thicker. They're thick cut fries now. They went away from the little fries. They couldn't compete. And now they're actually really good. What would you get?
Hungry Jack's is worth the 20% chance of illness.
You're getting Hungry Jack's? Okay.
Yeah.
Or Burger King.
Burger King. Yeah. I'll get my little paper crown from here. I'll bring it with me and I'll wear it to Hungry Jack's. It'll be very confusing.
We get the crown. I don't think they still do them. They've typically always done the crown here.
Wait,
as well.
Hungry Jack's has the Burger King crowns?
Yeah, of course.
That doesn't make any sense. What? All right.
It's the same. Honestly, it's the same restaurant with different logos. I don't know if you appreciate that. It's just a different name because of the pre-existing.
So is there a Burger King?
There was, but they no longer exist because they're renamed Hungry Jack's.
Oh my God. That's infuriating.
In a crazy experiment, I've been using Firefox for the last couple of weeks.
Mm.
The browser.
Yeah.
And
not the fox that's on fire. Are you clarifying that?
Okay. Not Ice Weasel. Yeah. This is Firefox.
Firefox. And it's been a long time since I've really ever used Firefox. Mm. I've got to say, I'm quite enjoying it on Mac OS.
That was a very quick qualification there. There was no pause between I'm enjoying it and the clarification of where. Okay. Tell me more about that.
I remember using it a while ago and it seemed dog slow. Like just everything seemed really slow about it. This time I'm using it, it feels really snappy. The user interface seems kind of nice. I'm enjoying it. I feel like I'm supporting the underdog, which is also a lovely thing and very Australian. We love an underdog story.
No, I'd like to see them crushed, frankly.
Got my extension set up.
Yeah.
I tried to use it on iOS, iPadOS and all that. And yeah, I know like they let you choose the default browser, but they really don't want you to change the default browser. So, but even despite all that, the thing that just put me off, I couldn't use it, was the way that the scrolling, it was a little bit janky and you would scroll off and the Firefox browser there sort of hides the URL bar. But the way it does it, I found that I kept losing my place on the screen. It would sort of scroll, it would hide the URL bit, but then the viewport would sort of change. And so I would always lose my place in my, it's hard to explain. But I experienced it about 5 times. And I was like, nah, I'm done. Back to Safari. So the downside is that now I don't have anything syncing. So, you know, your history of sites that you've looked at and all that kind of thing. It's not entirely in sync, but cookies do a pretty good job with that. Site-specific cookies do a pretty good job of keeping track anyway. The other thing I don't like on the desktop is the two-factor codes. If you'd still get SMS codes or email codes, the way that Safari utilizes those and pre-fills it is awesome. And I do feel that, weirdly, Safari has always been typically bad with extensions. I feel like my ad-blocking experience in particular, is actually better on Safari than Firefox. Despite having a pie hole and an ad blocker, what am I using here on Firefox? I'm using uBlock Origin.
Is that the prequel to uBlock?
uBlock Resurrection.
But overall, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it.
I have one question, but Jason has more. So
I have
go
a couple
it.
Notes that I could give you.
Sure.
Let's see. Number one, I love the Firefox icon for whatever
oh,
that's
I don't.
Worth. For two-factor codes, I think you use Alfred now. There's like a little thingy that'll kind of suck in your two-factor code so you can paste it.
Oh, okay. I don't use Alfred anymore. That was okay. Short-lived.
Well, that lasted an hour. And then
there's a basketball coming up about that, or at least it's related, I can see.
And the only other thing I was going to add was that Firefox is a browser, definitely. I just always get Windows vibes from it in the sense that like you look at Windows 11 and like seemingly every menu you go into, you get further and further back into like Firefox 1.0, it feels like.
It's archaeological.
And yeah, it basically. So yeah, I don't... syncing between stuff is not usually fun. It's almost like iOS doesn't actually want you to use anything else. It's so weird. I know they would never do that, but it sure seems like it's impossible to use fucking anything else on that goddamn phone. Weird. But I'm happy to hear you're using Firefox now. So has it been, what, like a couple hours now? Or
no, this has been 2 weeks. This has been 2 weeks, and I'm okay with it. I'm very happy. Very happy. And Arc lost me because they went to AI. I didn't like their direction. And Firefox
didn't like just their Arc. Yeah.
Just a plucky underdog. And Safari is just boring. So boring.
No, it's not. It's reliable. It's snappy. It just does what you want. And it's integrated with everything Apple. In fact, the question I was going to ask you, and then I was hesitating to even ask it because I feel like it would just lead to a whole repeat of episode 97, Jewel of the Defaults. Why do you do this to yourself?
Boredom. Attention deficit hyperactive disorder, maybe? I don't know.
That was more brief than I thought.
Have you gone into Vivaldi yet? Are we in Vivaldi territory?
I have Vivaldi installed.
Oh.
Yeah, of course I do. But I don't... Too many tiny icons and like side panels and a little bit too much going on. And then you can almost do like tree style tabbing, and it just gets overwhelming.
You think maybe Gopher? You think just go back to that? Maybe that would be just text only?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. Is that still in the terminal? If I fire up a terminal now, can I just get Gopher? Do I need to... I might have to grab that.
Oh, you probably got to change your Emacs. It's probably a brew. It's like there's a whole, yeah.
Yeah, I just tried typing Gopher and it didn't come out, not found. Maybe links.
Good luck with your Firefox experiment.
Well, I'm excited by it. I don't think it's an experiment anymore. I think I'm a Firefox guy.
Oh, good for you. I'm glad we finally have a Firefox guy in our ranks. We've been waiting.
Are you still a beach guy?
Yes, I am still a beach guy.
Okay.
I haven't been a beach guy for a couple of weeks because I haven't had time.
Well, you've been testing Firefox. You can't do both.
Yeah, and I can't test it on my iOS device.
Can't use it on your mobile device, so what the hell?
The lure of the sunny day wasn't strong enough to pull you away from Firefox.
No.
Oh, I'm an edge guy when I'm at work, though.
Oh, edge guy, yeah. Well, we've always thought of you as an edge guy. Edge case.
How often are you edging?
Two or three times a week. Yeah, I was just going to bring up, is this follow in, follow up, follow middle, follow middle. We'll call it follow middle. We had talked about notes and reminders and photos and putting things from there onto the web and how that like wasn't really a thing if you're using those. And Josh wrote us a little email about the subject line is Anton's Things. Okay. And I'm looking. And this are a few tools that looks like you can do things like publishing Apple Notes as web pages, shoving Apple Reminders up to the web as a web page, and then creating photo, I guess gallery was probably the best way to say it, from your Apple Photos. So just kind of some interesting tools that I sure as hell didn't know existed. The links will be in the show notes, of course. But yeah, thanks Josh Withers for writing and letting us know that these exist. Never had any idea that this was a thing. And that's super cool that somebody has figured out a way to do that. So yeah, I'll put those in the notes, but that's your follow middle follow. We'll call that.
I submitted a Mastodon poll about launch wraps. Jason, you mentioned earlier that I was a Alfred user, and I was for a few days until I realized that just certain elements of it did not match my brain. And I thought I can continue to fight this because everybody says how amazing Alfred is, or I could just go back to what I know, which I kind of did. So now I went back to Launch Bar, the one true launcher, which lets me do everything I ever want to do.
I think wouldn't Quicksilver be the one true launcher?
Well, that's an interesting point. And Quicksilver was one of the reasons I bought my first Mac. Because I saw Quicksilver demoed or something. And I was like, I want that. And literally bought a Mac. And the first software thing I installed was Quicksilver. And that rotating cube, oh my goodness, that was amazing.
That was nice.
Loved it. So I've always been a launcher guy. Always had some sort of launcher. After Quicksilver, I went to launch bar.
Firefox guy, beach guy, launcher guy. Just want to make sure I'm keeping
that. That's it.
I was trying to keep track of my own head. It's very hard.
I wanted to see what other people did. So my poll was simply, which macOS launcher /Swiss Army knife do you use? And this is my most successful Mastodon poll ever.
Who's the winner?
Well, I'm getting to that. 266 people... plus one other guy, I think, who wanted to vote and didn't. So maybe 267 responded.
That's a lot.
Responses were In last place, Launch Bar. My app of choice. Only 6% of respondents with Launch Bar as their preferred app. Pretty sad. I think it comes back to the community aspect of it. Launch Bar, just the developer just develops it. He doesn't really promote it or build community around it. And so it's struggling. But it is a great app. Give it a go. In second place, Rob's app, Alfred, 29%. And second place, at 31%, Raycast, that one that I've been a little skeptical of because of its privacy policies and what have you. But I figured 31% of people are saying it's good, so I should try it. So currently I'm using Raycast.
I love it. I love Raycast, especially because everybody that rails against Arc because they've done anything with AI fall over themselves over Raycast, who does the exact same stuff. So cool.
I haven't touched the AI stuff, to be perfectly honest. The winner.
You don't have to in Arc either, but go ahead.
The winner at 35% of users.
The Finder.
Martin, tell me what it is, Martin. What's that launcher that's won 35% of the vote?
Spotlight. Thank you very much.
Correct. People, why are you using Spotlight? Do yourself a favor. Like, these other apps can do so much more. Get on it. But there you go. So, interesting insight. The best app is not always the most popular. Launch Bar, 6%. You are still the granddaddy. I love you, even though I'm using Raycast. I will come back to you. I know it.
But can we get to the most important thing, which is that Spotlight is the best name?
Best name?
Yeah.
I disagree. Spotlight invokes searching.
That's what it is.
Yeah, and that's all it can do. Exactly. These other apps can do so much more. They can search, but they can...
But that's why it's successful, because it's clear in its purpose.
They can launch, they can edit, they can append, they can prepend, they can move files. It's like,
who's Alfred and why is he in my computer?
Alfred's your little helper. He's your little butler.
Oh, I could listen to you guys argue about Spotlight and whatever forever.
This is the most stupid name.
People download Raycast and they go, I thought I was getting a podcast app. What the hell is this?
Raycast is a stupid name. That is a bad name. Right?
Is this the launcher from old Mac OS? A bar? What? But we've got the menu bar and then we've got the dock. What's this launch bar?
Launch bar is beautiful. The hardest thing about launch bar is figuring out whether bar should be capitalized or not. The B in bar.
Well, look, you're digging yourself into a hole with the name thing. That's not a good name thing.
In fact, all of these suffer that problem. Spotlight, should the L be capitalized? And Raycast, should the C?
No, there's never any confusion about that because it's just written as Spotlight, which is the word.
And Alfred, should the R in red be capitalized? We don't know. Like, come on. So what I'm hearing is the thing that you use, you feel is the best one. That seems about right.
That's yeah, disregard the poll response, really. Yeah. Just listen to me.
Okay.
So basically, I put out a poll. Didn't like what I heard. Stuff is all. I'm correct.
Yes. Yeah. It's democracy working. I'm going to say a word, and I want you to tell me if you've heard of this thing. Okay? Are you ready?
Is it Perth?
No, but it does start with a P. Podcasts. Have you heard of these?
Sorry, could you say that again?
Yeah. Podcasts. I know. I don't know where the name comes from, but have you heard of these?
Go on.
They're these like audio files that are somewhere up in some kind of cloud, I'm told. And you have a little machine that you keep in your pocket that you can then pull these audio files down automatically. You don't even have to think about it, to this little device. And then little voices come out of it and tell you things. Crazy, right?
Voices in your head that... Yeah. Okay, go on. Yeah. Yep.
So I wanted to introduce you a new segment called Here's Another Podcast That You Can Listen To In Your Podcast Player Of Choice Corner.
Sounds good.
Are you ready? This little podcast that I'd like to introduce to everyone is called... Let me make sure I say the name correct. The Atlas Obscura Podcast. Have you heard of this one?
Mm-hmm.
It's very good.
Yep.
So many cool little stories in there. There was one in there recently about a Big Mac, so that ties in nicely.
Ooh.
Some Australia stuff was in there recently, which was great. So yeah, the other podcast that you can listen to in your podcast player of choice, Corner Recommendation of the Week, is the Atlas Obscura podcast.
So is this technically Media Corner?
It's either Media Corner or other podcasts that you can listen to in your podcast player of choice, Corner.
Right, Andrew, we'll trust you to make a jingle for that.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
Off you go.
Oh, you want me to do it now?
Yeah. Like, now would be good. Yeah.
Okay. You're going to have to say it, Jason. Okay, I'm going to cut to you. Okay, I'm going to jingle it up, then you've got to say the line.
Okay.
Okay.
We've got podcasts. We've got shows. We've got a special section for you. It's called...
It's another podcast you can listen to in your podcast player of choice. Corner.
Nailed it once again.
I don't know what to do after that.
That was pretty good.
You don't need to do anything. The job has been done. The work is the word speaks
signed,
for itself.
Sealed and delivered.
Speaking of podcasts, I just tried to go to Castro's website. And Firefox has given me a potential security risk ahead alert. Apparently, their SSL error bad cert domain. Sounds like they haven't refreshed their SSL certificates. Look, I know Castro's been having some troubles recently, but can't even get to their website.
They're in the midst of a migration.
Have you tried opening Castro's website through Launch Bar? See what happens there?
Well, I've got Raycast at the moment.
Well, whatever.
Have you tried using like a real browser?
Do you want me to try Safari?
I would use Spotlight, but we'll see. Maybe you should poll. You should do a Mastodon poll to ask which browser you should try to use to open the Castro website.
It opens straight away on Safari. No alerts.
I have a shout out. Are you ready for it? It's a little application I like to call, well, technically, they like to call it that too because it's the name of the application. Blip. Do you guys know about Blip?
I haven't installed.
No.
Oh my gosh, it's one of those apps that just works so well. It feels like magic. In effect, the best way I can describe it is AirDrop to anywhere in the world. So I want to send you like a 10 gigabyte file. Okay, well, I could put that into like iCloud Drive. So now I have to upload it to iCloud Drive and then you have to download it from iCloud Drive. That's not great. Blip lets you basically just point to point transfer stuff. And in some testing, quote unquote, I've done sending files to someone who shall remain anonymous. We maxed out the connection between what I'm able to send and they're able to receive. So it is, and it's just dead simple. It's drag and drop a file and it goes directly to them. You don't even have to, it could be a folder of files. None of this, oh, let me zip it up first and then put it on. No, just drop the folder on. They get the folder. It's like magic. It's great. If you need to transfer files to people, get Blip. It's awesome.
I have it installed. I've just loaded it. The problem is I never have any files I need to share with people. So my use of it is limited. I wish I could share stuff, but nobody wants my files.
You should get some better files.
Oh, I was thinking better friends, but okay. Whatever floats your boat.
Well, maybe a little column A, a little column B.
I graciously removed my own. We'll leave it for next time. It was not time critical. This, however, was absolutely time critical. I don't see how I could ignore this topic. Jason put it there for a reason. Can't believe that I overlooked it. really, the people need to know. I was in there and I saw JB hovering along in Apple Notes. A foot was placed in the bullet points. And then he wrote, "If I were a vegetable, I would be an onion." And I went, "That's easy." So he deleted onion and he wrote bok choy or pak choy to our British friends, I think. And then he put the little emoji next to it. After that, I wrote Jesus, ellipsis. And then he put a melty face. So really, I have to say why, if I were a vegetable, I would be a bok choy. Now, when onion was there, my mind went in a certain direction immediately. And it still holds true, I think, with bok choy. And I want to describe myself, for better or worse, as a multi-layered individual. Maybe a little bit dirty on the outside by the end of the day. And that's why you have to rip out or rip off those external leaves. But once you get under there, it's great. It just requires a light wash. Maybe there's a little bit of extra digging or understanding you have to do to really get to the core of my bok choy soul. But once you're in there, you're cutting up those beautifully smooth, tapered leaves, mix it in with the stir fry, you go, wow, this is a great experience. It's the crunch that I always needed in my life. So if I were a vegetable, I would be a bok choy because I am the multi-layered crunch that everyone needs in their lives.
I love a Martin stir fry. It's one of my favorites.
Is that to your satisfaction?
Absolutely.
That answer, Jason?
Yeah. A slight correction. You sort of alluded to the fact that I had put this in there. So I'm not really sure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know where that comes from. I mean, I don't show me the proof, I guess.
Your initials flying around the Apple Notes window. That's where it comes from.
I don't know. Did you see this happening, Andrew?
Hey, look, my strike through didn't work, so I can't rely on Apple Notes. Who knows what it's doing? I'm a bit disappointed that you didn't stick with the onion, though, because it would have segued beautifully in with our earlier burger topic, because you always put onions in, well, most people put onions in burgers. I minus them, as I said. But you never get bok choy in a burger.
So the next one's a basketball.
Yes.
This has popped up in a hurry. It says, if I were a car, then I would be dot, dot, dot. And then in brackets, but I can't be Toyota. Damn it. What's the point of this game? Okay, if I were a car, then I would be... What would I be? I think I would be a Bentley.
Wow. Because you have a little umbrella that comes out of your right arm?
No, because...
I was going to say, if you go for Lexus because it's like fancy Toyota, then you're a wanker, but you went even beyond that.
He's like, no, screw it. I'm going out of the stratosphere. I'm going well beyond...
Because to some people's eyes, I'm not that attractive and I'm a little bit ostentatious. But actually, I'm just very fancy and worth a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
I purr like a kitten, but I can rev like a lion.
Lions rev?
Yeah.
I value comfort above practicality. And... I'm a person of the royals.
Hmm.
Really? You're a monarchist.
You value comfort over practicality. Do we really believe that? The guy that's keeping track of grains of rice in a spreadsheet in his kitchen values comfort over practicality?
I'm probably not a Bentley. I'm probably more like
a Daihatsu?
I was going to say a Mini Cooper S, but yeah, Daihatsu. I like that.
I was thinking a Bluebird with a trunk held closed with an Ethernet cable. But
it's just too hard. I don't know enough about cars. All right, let's move on to the next one.
If I were a condiment, then I would be... Should there be an ellipse on that? Oh, there is. It's just behind my mouse. Okay, just checking. I would go barbecue sauce, but I'm just picking that based on the fact that it is my favorite condiment. And I don't think that's what the question is really driving at. I think I'm going to go with Kewpie mayo because it's not really very good for you. It's pretty weird. And the container is terrifyingly scary. So I think that's why I would choose Kewpie mayo.
Because you're unhealthy and scary.
Yeah. See? Imagine putting a little bit of me on a Martin stir fry. Huh?
Oh my gosh.
Ooh.
See, if I were a condiment, I think I'd be Vegemite because it presents itself as fun and easygoing, but it actually is a little bit salty.
Yeah. And you just want to stick it in the back of the cabinet and hope that you forget about it.
Ugh, yeast.
Just one last one.
Is this a live show? This is like a live show now, technically. It's all just sort of happening. Yeah. Okay. So if you were
really going to think about this one,
a misspelled word, what would you be?
Look, it looks correct to me, odor, but you know, you can adjust it in the show notes as you wish. I really have to think about this one. This is really difficult.
Can I answer for you?
I'd love you to answer, actually, and I'll see if I agree.
Okay. Foot odor.
Oh, piss off.
Do you get it? Because you're the foot?
I do.
That's the only reason I put that in there. I set that whole thing up just for that gag.
So you never actually wanted my opinion?
No, I just wanted to say foot odor.
All right, well, you smell like Lynx Africa. How about that?
Kiss the rains down in Africa. You can answer the question though, Martin. You're more than welcome to.
I think Martin smells like one of those really...
Well, you've met me in person.
One of those really big German pretzels with butter on it.
Oh, I love those.
I think that's what he smells
like. And that works. Yeah, with the huge granules of salt.
Greasy, yeah. Bready, salt all over his face. Yeah.
I'll go with that. I think this is some of our finest work, you two.